Welcome to the seventh episode of the It's Been Said podcast. I'm your host, SAI Executive Director Lisa Ramey. Each show is dedicated to conversations on leadership as we further SAI's mission to support, encourage, and develop Iowa's educational leaders and learners. In this episode, hear from AEA Systems Facilitator and Great Prairie Chief Cindy Yellick, Iowa Association of School Boards Executive Director Lisa Bartuzik, and Iowa State Education Association Executive Director Mary Jane Cobb. You'll be inspired as they share their insights on leadership and talk about making a difference in Iowa education. We'll start with you, Cindy. When did you realize you wanted to take a leadership role?
You know, I think like a lot of us, I didn't really realize it. In about my third year of teaching, the principal came to me and said, we got this huge grant. We can hire another assistant principal. We want you to do that. And I always thought, well, you follow the open door. So I did that. But I think it was really when I became an elementary principal, I realized I really had sort of a tolerance for dealing with maybe some of the district politics and some of the district reporting requirements that I could do that really freed up teachers so that they could do what they were best at. And that was spending their time in the classroom, really being innovative and creative teachers. So that was probably the time when I really realized this is a role that I can do that really helps the system and helps education be better for all kids.
Fantastic. Lisa, we'll go with you next.
Like Cindy, I don't really remember a moment when I realized I wanted to take a leadership role. I think since I was very young, I've had a filter that I look at things and think, oh, this could be done better. We could improve and I could help them and draw people together to say, do you want to get better? And how can we do that together? And that is played out through high school, college, and then it's that filter is just kind of positioned me to take leadership roles, informal, and then turned into management roles. But that's still what I do, is try to help our organization become better and draw people toward that.
There's a theme here. Mary Jane, how about you? When did you decide you wanted to take on a leadership role?
I think it's funny. We're all sort of in the same situation of not ever having sort of that aha moment of, oh, I want to lead. Like Lisa said, it's sort of always been something I did. I led in groups, friend groups, professional groups. But I was working at the NEA. And I was doing consulting in some of our state affiliates, and I was in and out and, you know, working on a discrete project or a discrete campaign and not really having a broad impact. And I realized if I wanted to have a broad impact in one place, I needed to move into management. And so that's why I came to Iowa. I knew that I wanted to do more than just, you know, sort of work around the edges. And so I came here and I figured if I came into this role, instead of implementing somebody else's ideas, I'd have a chance at implementing my own ideas.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so fortunate to be working with the three of you. I learn every time we're together, and today is just the same. All right, so Lisa, we're going to start with you this time. Please name a person who has had a tremendous impact on you as a leader. Maybe somebody who was a mentor to you over time. Why and how did this person impact your life?
Sure. The person I picked, Lisa, was Ron Rice, who was executive director at the Iowa Association of School Boards for many years. He was my supervisor. And Ron, I learned so many things from him. Ron first said what he did was develop leaders. And he developed leadership within the organization. Every employee was taught about leadership and what that looks like and how to do it. And then he positioned us in positions of informal leadership, cross-team work groups, where the chair would vary and you had to facilitate the group. And then a third thing he did was he was excellent, a real role model in coaching, asking you coaching questions. I would come to him with a problem and he would just ask me questions to help me solve the problem myself. And I still try to model those things that he taught me by observation. And the last thing he taught me is every leader has blind spots and problems that get in their way. And it was my job to help him see his. And that level of candor and transparency and openness that you expect your direct reports to call out where you're off base. Great mentor to me and something I try to continue to model.
I think one of the things you said, Lisa, around coaching, it's a real skill to be able to ask those questions instead of provide answers to someone's problem. You know, that's
agreed.
And I see that you do that very well as well. Mary Jane, how about you? Who has influenced you as a leader?
So when I was thinking about this, Lisa, I thought the first answer that always comes to mind might seem a little trite, but it really is true. It's my father. I grew up in a family. My dad ran garment factories, so places where they sewed clothes. And he would have hundreds and hundreds of sewing machine operators in a factory. And I remember being a little girl and being in the factory, and there were giant smiley face signs hanging over areas of the factory. And I would ask him, you know, what's that for? And that would be an area that met their production goals or exceeded their goals. And so I asked him one time about, did he have frowny faces that he hung over the areas that weren't doing well? And his answer to me was, that's not how you motivate people. You don't lead by embarrassing people publicly. You always coach or assist with deficiencies privately, and you celebrate the successes publicly. And I would watch him walk through that factory with hundreds and hundreds of people, and he could stop at any machine to any person there and ask about their children, or ask about a mother that was ill, or if somebody was selling a house. He knew those people as people, not just as employees or operators. And those two pieces have stuck with me my entire career. And I hope that I lead with as much compassion and as much fun. I do not dress up on the holidays quite the same way he did. He could be counted on at Halloween to do it upright. I do not do that as well as he did, but I try to do the compassion as well as he did.
Yeah. Well, what sound advice. I mean, even today, right? The more Absolutely. That we can know our people, the relationship piece makes a huge difference for sure. Okay, Cindy. How about you? Who has influenced you over time?
I really thought of two people, and one of them, while not my own father, really the lesson was very similar to Mary Jane's, and that was Ray Richardson. He was the superintendent in Ames when I was a young building principal, and he is someone who really could give really critical feedback. And I don't mean critical as in negative, but as in growth. But because he cared about you so much as a person and he had built that relationship with you, it was really, you always knew it was from a place of caring and a place of helping you grow. And so that was where I really learned, I think, that relationship piece. And the other person, I think none of you will be surprised to hear me say, would be Paula Vincent. And Paula is somebody who just has such a strong internal compass and value system that you never questioned her integrity in her decision making, even if it was something that maybe not everybody agreed with. But you always knew it was coming from a place of trying to make the system better and what she believed was the right thing for students. And so really just having that, being really clear on what drives me and what motivates me, I think has something, even when challenged, I've kind of realized you have to come back to that place always and know that you're doing it in what you believe is the best interest for kids.
Yeah, for sure. So as you all now have reflected on someone who influenced you as a leader, what advice would you give someone who's going into a leadership position for the first time? Mary Jane, let's start with you.
Yeah, I think the most important thing to do as a new leader is to listen. And to listen to the people around you that have been in the system, colleagues in similar positions, but the people that you're going to be leading, and have a strong sensing mechanism. You know, whatever it is that gets you out among the people that you're leading, if that's physically out among them, or if that's, you know, reading the emails that they send to each other. You know, there are a lot of emails these days, but when my staff ask each other for advice or information, I try to follow those conversations so that I know what's important in their work and what kind of supports they might need. Somebody else might look at that and think, oh, they're just talking to each other. Being in a position to listen and learn from the people that you hope to be leading, and understanding that just because you're in a leadership role doesn't necessarily mean you're leading. You have the positional authority and you have to develop the followers.
Cindy, let's go to you next.
I would say, really to follow up on Mary Jane's comments, I always tell people, be vulnerable and don't be afraid to be vulnerable and ask. To this day, I have those people that I go to and ask when I don't know something, and it's okay to say, I absolutely don't know what this is, and get that feedback. The other thing, when I taught, was teaching at Drake, and people would get their first principalship, I would always say to them, are you nervous? And if they didn't say they were, I was always a little worried. And so when they would say to me, yes, I would always say, you know, if you're going to take on a leadership role and you don't feel like you might throw up right now, you're probably not assessing what you're walking into. So, you know, I've always kind of said, embrace that and use that as part of then what you lean into and ask for support from other leaders that you respect, because it is scary and it's okay to be afraid. It's just not okay to live in that space without asking for help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really appreciate the vulnerability piece, because I think over time, right, leaders feel like, oh, we can't show that we don't know or that we're vulnerable. We have to have all the answers, when in reality, being a leader sometimes is not having all of the answers. So, Lisa, how about you? What advice?
So, first, Mary Jane and Cindy gave such good advice. How can I top that? But the way I would complement that is to remember that you may have a leadership style that's kind of your go-to moves, how you lead. Assess what leadership style the organization needs at that moment, because that listening will help you with that. Vulnerability will help you with that. But an organization in crisis needs a more directive leadership style to turn it around. An organization in continuous improvement should not have that kind of leadership style. And you'll need to adapt to what the organization needs. And if you get it wrong, well, that's going to be a different question you ask. You know, mistakes leaders make. Adapt your leadership style to what the organization needs. And you can do that by listening, and draw out from people, the board, the staff, what they need from you.
Yeah, wise, very wise. So Lisa, you mentioned there's times that leaders take missteps, right? It happens. I've been there myself, right? Are there missteps that you all as leaders have seen that happen more frequently than others? And if so, what are those? Let's start with Cindy.
You know, I think maybe one mistake we see young leaders make is reacting, maybe not assessing a situation fully, not collecting whatever contextual or hard data there is. But I find it actually more a result of being overwhelmed and they have this long to-do list and they come in and they just are trying to get something checked off. And so I would say it takes some time and some maturity to say, here's the big issue I really need to figure out. And here are the couple things I can delegate or check off so I can free up some time for those big issues.
Lisa.
Tell me again the question.
Yeah. How would you respond to any of a misstep that you've seen or witnessed leaders making more often than not?
So I'll go back to what I said in the previous one, getting the style of leadership wrong, leading in too directive a way when that's not the culture of the organization or its position. The second aspect, though, is failing to clarify early on the expectations of those around you. If it's a board of directors for a superintendent, what will success look like after my first year? If you don't spend the time up front to clarify what's expected of you, you're unlikely to reach that target at the end because nobody knew what it was to begin with.
Yeah, thank you for that. Clarity is very helpful in lots of ways in education. Mary Jane.
So I think one of the things that I have seen leaders, I think at all times in their career, not just early in their career, do when there's a conflict, we are often very quick to move to the interpersonal relationship part of the conflict. And what's really important is to be clear about what Lisa mentioned earlier, the goals of whatever group you're working with, the roles of each individual within that group and the responsibilities of the individuals in that group. And if you are clear about the expectations, the goals, the roles, the responsibilities, then a lot of times the interpersonal relationships will really follow along and work themselves out. But if we have a situation where something's not going well and we go straight to trying to solve the interpersonal relationship piece, it's going to be a mess. And so that clarity around who each of us individually is, but who we are in relationship to each other and the work that we're doing, and being clear about that, that really makes a tremendous difference.
Yeah, thank you. So now moving to characteristics, what is at least one characteristic that you think every leader should possess? Lisa, let's start with you.
Listening. The ability to be an active listener in a one-to-one conversation, to listen to a meeting, a group, and hear what wants to occur in that group, listening to the individuals in the group and kind of being able to assess that, and then listening to the system. Seeing what's happening in the system, those interpersonal relationships, and what needs to happen to make it better.
Thank you. Mary Jane.
I'm going to go back to what I talked about earlier about my dad. I think that caring about the people that you are working with and leading is so critical. And caring about their individual success and their collective success and figuring out what your role is in nurturing that. And I love the conversations we've been having about good coaching questions, because I think that's really critical. But helping people grow, asking them, you know, what do you want to know more about? What would you like to get better at in your job? What would you like to learn different? And really caring about them as individuals and how they fit into the bigger system makes a lot of difference. I think right now, this flows over into one of our next questions about challenges we face. There's so much conflict in society and in the world, and everybody brings that in some way with them to work. And being able to understand that and try to help support our staff, support our board as people and in their roles, I think is critically important.
Yeah. Cindy.
You know, I think positivity. I really believe that you have to get up every day and think, I can make a difference today, and I can help somebody else make a difference. So that's huge for me. I've been reading a lot more recently about what is referred to as emotional regulation. And I think that's so critical for leaders. You know, we might think of it more as stability, but it is tough and challenging times right now. And for people to know that you're going to be steady, I think that helps them feel steady. And it also helps them take a risk with you, which you can then work on those coaching questions and help stretch them. So I would say that those two things for me, positivity and that stability. And the third thing, which I know this is probably more than you were asking for, I really do believe it's important to have a sense of humor. I mean, you got to laugh at yourself sometimes. You got to laugh at what's going on sometimes. And we're in the kid business. And if you can't find a good kid story, you're probably too far removed from them, because kids will make you laugh almost every day if you're around them. So I think those are the three big ones for me.
Yeah. Thank you, Cindy. Boy, so positivity, humor, listening, caring. I see that all of those characteristics in each of you each time we're together. So no wonder you are all fabulous leaders and here with me today. So a couple of you mentioned, and we all know it's been challenging times, right? I mean, leadership is not always easy. And it seems like there's times that it ebbs and flows, but it seems like it's been consistent for, boy, a couple years now. So what do you believe is the biggest challenge facing leaders today? And Mary Jane, I think we'll start with you.
Okay. I think the sense of humor is really important as we even get into this question. We have a joke around here that if my hair ever catches fire, everybody should run, because that's just not the way I roll, right? There's just, I think it's really important, as leaders, the emotional regulation, Cindy, I love that. And for those folks that are listening, you can't see that every one of us wrote that down when Cindy said it, because we want to learn more about it. But being able to, take a really deep breath, maybe count to 10, do whatever you do to center yourself before you jump into whatever the sort of conflict, challenge, issue of the day is, so that those that you are working with have that confidence that the person that they're following is taking them down the right path. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to get it wrong. It just means that I've given it a lot of thought. I've taken in data. I've listened to people, and I'm going to go in a direction, and hopefully it's the right one. And if it's not, we'll course correct, but that I'm not reacting out of fear. It's really easy to react out of fear right now. I'm not reacting out of animosity. I'm acting out of the values of the organization and my personal compass. And I think that that is just incredibly important as we sort of navigate really three really, really tough years.
Mm-hmm. Cindy.
You know, for me, I think right now the biggest challenge is really still celebrating the career of education. When I was in grad school, I remember reading an article about people who became teachers in the 70s and early 80s. It was the Peace Corps for them. It was what you did to, you know, help society. Then we had the whole wave around America. I think it was America Teach or Teach America, where people would leave other careers and come teach for a few years. I think now it's not characterized and viewed that way. It really is, and which is really, I'm going to say demoralizing, and maybe that word is too strong for people that are in the field who this has been their career for a long time and really are making a difference for kids. Last week, I was at a state meeting, and you had all seen the data probably 2 weeks before, the report on how Iowa kids are doing. And Iowa kids have come out of the pandemic doing as expected. I mean, they didn't see the loss that so many of the other states saw. And that's because we have quality teachers and quality leaders. I had a superintendent in the middle of the pandemic when we were talking about return to learn. It was a microphone drop moment. He leaned forward into the Zoom camera and he said, "We have a moral obligation to get these schools back open for kids." And it just kind of took everybody's breath away. And they said, "You're right." So when I think about the challenge, I just think it's easy for us to get sidetracked on what's going on externally and forget that we are making a difference and that we need to hang on to that and lean into that, because that's what's important for Iowa kids, is that we're here even with the external pressures on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, appreciate that. And Lisa, what are your thoughts around challenges facing leaders?
I think that as leaders, we experienced a global pandemic with COVID, and that drew us to a level of leadership many of us never predicted having to lead through, and then went almost immediately into a time period now where education's getting pretty intense scrutiny in a critical way from external parties. And the same skill set is required in both those things. It's that aspect of the ability to be that point of hope. Folks, we can do this, we can get through it. To keep your own optimism, even though privately you have moments of weakness, and to draw other people around you privately, like this group of people has been for me, to shore you up, because other people need you to be that we can get through it. Isn't there in Jim Collins' work, the Stockdale paradox, something like that, that belief that you can and will maintain, and then giving people that sense of safety and certainty. Cindy, I think you called it being steady. Creating the structure that allows them to know that they can continue to operate and will continue to operate, because you are going to use Mary Jane's moral compass and stay focused on the values of the organization.
Love it. Love it. All right. So how do you all encourage others, whether they're in your organizations or other organizations, to pursue a leadership role? And Cindy, I think we're back to you.
You know, I think when you reflect back on what we all said about how we became leaders, it was somebody saw something in us and they matched that with an opportunity. And I try to find those things in others and find those opportunities for them. And sometimes it's somebody who's, you know, really strong instructional background, and that we can put them in that leadership role to mentor. Sometimes it is somebody who you see really has that leadership that you think is going to work with a community and a board. And so it's really about, I think, trying to find the opportunities that are a match for people's skills and not just saying, it's one of the things I've loved about TLC actually, is that leadership didn't always mean you have to go be a principal. You know, I think that was really a traditional path that if you were going to be a leader, that meant you were going to move from being a teacher to being a principal to maybe a superintendent. And now we see there's so many other pathways to lead in education. I think that's critical. And I think it's important to help people, you know, recognize their own strengths, which sometimes is hard for young educators to do, and then help them see what's a pathway for them to lead colleagues and lead others.
Yeah, thank you. Lisa, how about you? How do you encourage others to pursue leadership roles?
Well, it echoes what Cindy just said, but it's a philosophy that leadership is not management. Managers also need leadership skills, but you can lead from any role in an organization. And so what does that look like for various roles and talents? That said, I also actively, every person I want to put in a management role is because they also have very strong leadership skills. Leadership is about arranging, motivating, elevating others. Management is the structure and process that helps us accomplish that work. That's John Cotter, not Lisa Bartuzek.
Thank you, Lisa. Mary Jane.
You know, it's interesting because Lisa Bartuzek mentioned this earlier. This group is where I come when I need support and encouragement in my work, because you all understand what I do and you understand the system I work in. I spend a lot of time in our system and in our community trying to acknowledge, support, and uplift educators. Cindy talked about the stresses and the lack of celebration of the profession right now. And sometimes encouraging others to pursue a leadership role is to just remind them that what they are already doing is leading. All of our colleagues in the education community are seen as leaders in their community. We could go to any town in Iowa and ask 10 people to tell us who's a leader in their community, and many of them are going to be educators. And so celebrating that to begin with, looking people straight in the face and thanking them for what they're doing, and offering to support them or encourage them. And, you know, what I've noticed is that people often do that. People say, let me know if I can support you in any way. Let me know if I can help you. But when you say, you know what, why don't we grab a cup of coffee or schedule a 30-minute call to just talk about what you want to do or where you might like to go? That's a real offer. And so I try to clear time on my calendar to say to young people or people that might be in transition, let's do this. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about where you want to go, what you want to do, and what connections I can help you make. I don't have the answers, but I know somebody in our community that's done what you want to do or has information about that. So being very, very specific about what we offer. Most people look at the people in these roles and think they're too busy to talk to me. And when you offer 30 minutes or an hour of your time very specifically to somebody for a cup of coffee or a quick Zoom just to talk about them, that's very affirming for them. And I will tell you, those are generally the happiest, most uplifting calls or meetings that I have in the course of a week. I get as much from them as I could possibly ever give them in terms of support and encouragement.
Yeah. Wow. So I heard strengths alignment, right? And we all know that when our strengths are aligned with the work that we have to do, the joy that comes, right, with that. Management isn't leadership, and leadership is elevating others, which 100% agree, and acknowledging, supporting, and uplifting. Wow, you guys are amazing. All right, so what are you all doing to ensure that you continue to grow and develop as a leader? We all know that continuous improvement is important in our roles. And so how do you make time? What do you do to ensure that you're continuing to develop? Lisa, I get to start with you.
Well, as you folks know, I'm headed for retirement June 30th. So I'm maybe a little less intensive about that right now. I'm thinking of more, what am I doing to ensure continuity of leadership for the organization? And beyond that, I'll be looking for ways to apply leadership skills in different areas. I get to volunteer to lead within the community. And so I'm more on a reflective mode right now.
I appreciate that. Mary Jane?
I don't ever like hearing Lisa talk about her retirement, so that kind of catches me up short. I'm very excited for her, but we'll miss Lisa's amazing questions in a variety of meetings that have been very beneficial to all of us in our community. And I think that sort of rolls into what I'm doing right now to continue to grow and develop as a leader. I write down really smart things that Cindy says and look up things like emotional regulation when we get off this call and see what I can learn about that. But I also, for a couple of years, have been involved with a course in professional coaching and how to be a professional coach. I'm actually a certified coach now. And the act of asking good questions of the people around you in mentoring situations, in managing situations, in leadership situations, in trying to figure out where we want to go on a family vacation situation, really trying to be much better at asking questions and a lot less about giving advice and really focusing on that.
Yeah, so important. Cindy, how about you?
You know, I think one of the things that's challenging for us when you get to certain positions of leadership is the isolation. And so I try to really surround myself and find opportunities. This group is actually one that has been super beneficial for me because we come at things from very different perspectives, and that helps me think through things. And I've just appreciated also the camaraderie that has allowed us to ask each other things and push each other. I think real globally though, Lisa, I love the Eleanor Roosevelt quote, do something that scares you every day. You know, push yourself out of your comfort zone every day to take on a challenge, learn something new. And so I really try to think about that and reflect on that. Like, did I stretch today? And if I didn't, you know, some days it doesn't feel like you did. And so then I always try to put something in front of myself the next day about what's that one thing that's going to push me out of my comfort zone a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you all. I think our listeners are going to understand why I felt it was important to have you three be a part of our podcast. I learn each and every time we're together. I said that earlier. I'll continue to say that. I'm so fortunate to be a part of this group. You all are awesome for me individually to be able to connect with, but as a group, I've just learned tons from you over this year that I've been in this role. So thank you for sharing your wisdom with our listeners as well. If you're looking to grow your leadership, consider participating in one of SAI's 4 essential roles of leadership events this June. The learning also qualifies for evaluator approval. Visit the events page on SAI's website to sign up. Be sure to join us for next month's episode when we welcome Iowa's Fine Arts Administrator of the Year, Doug Jiskut of West Lyon.